games over the last 30 seasons. Elsewhere on the hardwood, the Suns handed the Bucks their first wire-to-wire loss this season. When it rains, it pours. 140-131. Marks the first time this year the Bucks have lost back-to-back games, and just the second time that's happened in the last two seasons. Milwaukee was without their reigning MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo, due to a sprained left knee. He's also expected to miss tonight's game against the Nuggets due to that same injury. And on International Women's Day, Sabrina Ionescu went off, showing why she's one of the best players in all of college hoops. She led Oregon to its second Pac-12 tournament championship in the last 3 years. The Ducks dominated Stanford, 89-56. Sabrina finished with 20 points, 12 assists, and 8 rebounds, and accounted for 51 of Oregon's 89 points in the win.
Sports Center brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart.
One right, motion left to right from Corey Lee, the tight end. Jackson in the gun. Snap, makes the handoff, fires, end zone, touchdown, DC Defenders. He just threw a dart into a small window.
That sound courtesy 106.7 The Fan. Golic and Wingo with you, presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, including our next guest. Always a delight to talk to the commissioner of the XFL. Oliver Luck is with us. Oliver, thanks for being with us this morning. So we're halfway through the inaugural season. How do you assess how the XFL is gaining traction with the viewing audience in this country?
First of all, good morning. Thanks for having me on. So we're halfway through our regular season, 5 weeks in the books. I think we're doing well. I think the quality of play is good. I think the fan support has been awesome. You know, people have adopted these teams after only seeing them for, you know, a couple, 3 weeks. So, you know, all in all, I think we're doing well. I think we can certainly play better football. We've had stretches where we haven't been as crisp as we would like. Last night's late night West Coast game, you know, LA versus Tampa, it was a 9 p.m. East kickoff, but that was kind of sort of what I think our games will look like as teams really gel and we go forward. That ended up with, I think, 75 points, exciting, went into the end of the fourth quarter as a one score game. That's the kind of football that I think we will begin to see a lot more of as we go into the second half of our regular season.
Certainly some storylines developing both on and off the field, but I'm really interested from your perspective, a guy who's not only been around the game but played the game for a long time. What are some of the things you see going in the right direction that you've tried, and what are some things where you're saying, okay, this still needs a little bit of work?
So I think almost all of our rules innovations are having the effect that we wanted. We're up, for example, well over 90% in kickoff returns. Fans told us they want to see a kickoff return. We gave it to them. And we made it safer for the players by eliminating that run-up. I think coaches are still trying to figure out the 1 point, 2 point, 3 point, extra point. There's a lot of strategy involved, and you know, I'm not sure that anybody's really settled on the best way to approach that. If I could sort of be happy about one issue that I see is how hard these guys are playing. I mean, the games are physical. The tackling is good. They're hitting people. And, you know, that's good to see, because that's real football. So I've been impressed with, you know, the passion that these players have had. They all have a chip on their shoulder. They're playing for, you know, a variety of different reasons, but I'm just pleased that they're playing hard. That matters. And that is something that I think, you know, kind of comes out of the games and has helped build our fan bases.
Absolutely. It seems important to everybody involved, and I think that shined through, especially with the statement and the apology that you guys issued after the Houston and Seattle game. There should have been time left on the clock. Seattle should have had a chance to win that game. And how important was it for you guys to come out strongly and clearly about what happened in that situation?
Well, we gathered, you know, very quickly after that game. I think we all realized that we made a mistake. Our officiating crew made a mistake. We had, you know, Dean Blandino, who oversees all of our officials on the line, the referee crew, et cetera, and realized, listen, we made a mistake. There's no sense trying to deny that. Let's apologize. You know, I felt terrible for the Dragons and Jim Zorn. They had one more play, 2 seconds left, and should have had that opportunity. So, you know, I think this is my theory, because, you know, we allow fans to eavesdrop, to listen in on the conversations between the referees and the sky judge when there's a contested call. I think that's humanized these referees. And I think that fans now begin to realize these referees just want to get it right, but they're humans. And like all of us, we're not infallible. We make mistakes. And when you make a mistake, you know, I was always taught, right, Mike, to own up to it.
Yep, absolutely.
And say, we're sorry, we apologize, it won't happen again. And, you know, I think that's the right way to go about our business.
Oliver Luck with us, the XFL commissioner. So, Oliver, the attendance has been great, but the ratings for the television side after a great start have not been exactly what you guys have been hoping for. How do you guys try and get that part of it turned around?
Well, I think the only thing that we can do week in, week out is play good football. And we believe if we do that, high-quality games, we're prepared. We're scoring some points, like, again, the late-night game last night with L.A. and Tampa Bay. If we can do that, I don't worry about attendance. I don't worry about the TV ratings. You know, those are important, obviously, and our broadcast partners, Fox and Disney, you know, look closely at those. But as long as we play good football, that's what we can control. And we're going into, of course, a time of year where there's a number of sports that are now beginning to sort of take center stage, whether it's the tournament or the Masters coming up. So all we can do really is play good football. I think there are enough football fans out there that care about us and understand our game that will tune in, that we'll be okay with attendance ratings and virtually all the other metrics that do matter.
Talking to Oliver Luck, XFL commissioner here on Golic and Wingo. Two questions. First, let's just start with this. What does your boss have to say? What has Vince McMahon's thoughts been on the half of the season so far?
I think Vince has basically said to us, so far, so good, but you know, don't rest on any laurels at all. Keep charging hard. I do believe that as we go into the second half, we're going to start to see teams that have gelled a little bit more and guys stepping up like Josh Johnson and really playing well. But so far, so good from Vince's perspective.
Yeah, right now, P.J. Walker has been unbelievable for Houston, the undefeated team, 15 touchdowns, just 4 interceptions. He's really been showing out. Josh Johnson, 11 touchdowns at this point. And then from the NFL side, I don't know if you've had any conversations with them, not anything official, just kind of off-the-cuff conversations. And have there been NFL scouts or personnel showing up to the games?
Yeah, we've had NFL scouts at literally all of our games. I know they're watching all the game tape. You know, certainly with the quality of our league and the history of a lot of these guys, we expect that there'll be, gosh, who knows, 25, 50, 75. It's difficult to say. Guys will have an NFL opportunity once our season is over, and we want them to take that if they're so inclined. You know, we're encouraging them to continue their journey, you know, as football players. But the NFL scouts have been pretty active in watching us. And in particular, one guy, Kenny Robinson, a safety for the St. Louis team, who is draft eligible for the NFL draft in April, next month.
It's very interesting. I know he's a guy that a lot of people have their eye on, so certainly could be a big deal for the league. But, Oliver, you were part of maybe the biggest. In your time, you've been a part of a lot of great teams. You've been a part of a lot of great organizations.
Yeah.
What was it like to be a part of 1,237 cups, 19,792 ounces of beer, and just an impossibly long beer snake in that crowd?
Well, I was just excited when my staff told me I could actually drink the beer we had bought before I gave the cup up, right? Mike, we don't waste beer in Cleveland, do we?
No, sir.
It was just remarkable. I mean, I just want to thank you for contributing to one of the greater sights on the entire weekend. Not a lot of commissioners get a chance to do that.
I was just going to say, what a way to endear yourself to the fans. You got a pretty rousing ovation from that.
Yeah, well, that crowd was pretty easy to get going.
I think they were already there.
Awesome.
Yeah. They had been snaking for a while.
That's right. Think, though, about how quickly, that was the third home game for the D.C. team, how quickly those fans, I kind of wrapped their arms, figuratively speaking, around that franchise. That's the cool part. That they're Defenders fans. You see, all the merchandise walking around town. That part is just really cool.
And again, we'll see what happens going forward as we're entering the back half of the XFL season, and we'll see how this thing goes. Oliver, as always, good to catch up with you. Thanks for the time this morning.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
It was great. You just walked down to the field as the beer snake
it's
was all
incredible.
Over the place, and he's holding up the cup getting cheered as he adds to it.
You know what? It's good to know there's a lot of people, a lot of commissioners that would have walked up there with just a cup that someone gave him. To know that Oliver was behind drinking, actually involving himself in that way, and then placing the cup there, to know he earned his place in the beer snake scene around the world this weekend, that's powerful. That's why, he's probably up there with Adam Silver as far as commissioners with a high Q rating.
Right there. And in spending time as teammates with the Oilers, I do know he can drink beer.
He rallied the realm.
Yes.
He rallied the realm.
I mean, that beer snake. I didn't even get the full length on it, but the XFL.
It was long.
The Twitter account actually put up the stats on it. 1,237 cups.
Fantastic. Meanwhile, some NFL news. Mm-hmm. Apparently, ESPN and reports that the Bills have agreed to a one-year deal with Josh Norman. Norman reunites with Bills head coach Sean McDermott, who was his defensive coordinator with Carolina, where they went to Super Bowl 50, and Josh was a big part of that. The deal is worth $6 million and includes incentives that can reach $8 million, according to ESPN. The deal, first reported by NFL Network, again, reunites him with McDermott. It's interesting because Josh Norman, toward the end of his time in Washington, wasn't the dude anymore.
He was not, right.
But he doesn't have to be in Buffalo, and that's what I think makes this a really good fit.
Yeah, Tre'Davious White is the corner there without question. He's familiar with that defensive scheme because of McDermott. He is 32, so he's working toward the back end of his career, but I think a nice defensive scheme to jump into, and as you mentioned, Tre'Davious White is the corner there, so good to add to that secondary.
Low risk in this one. Yeah. Like, we'll see if the fit and all that familiarity helps, because we're a few years removed from Josh Norman playing anything close to his best ball.
And we're just waiting. He's on, though, the team, though, that if that team that's been leading that division doesn't get Tom Brady back, everybody's waiting for the Bills to be that next team.
That's the question. Will he be having to defend passes from Tom Brady next year in the AFC East, or will he be not worried about that because Tom has moved on to potentially greener pastures? What to make of Tom Brady's future and what one of his former coaches is saying about that? We'll get back to that next. Go look and